Blog Talk Radio.
They'll tell you that you can't make it. That you began life's test with an S pasted to the top of your exam in bright red ink. They'll show you links through studies and statistics, lifetime sentences, force feeding you with both facts and fiction, aimed at predicting the outcome to your destiny as if they can see into your future and as if God created you to fail.
Man up.
Your father, Papa, son. They are shooting at us.
Calling all my brothers, can I get a quick huddle? Time out for a second, need to adjust some trouble. See so many of us on the stumble. No goals, no direction, so affected by the slow, subtle devaluation of our roles. Nobody to teach us, took the papas out the home. Left to learn alone what it means to be a man. So it's easy for the media to carry out their bigger plan. Government assistance, school stats. Only if she fools, she single or she lose dad. And the job stats show she get the job fast. So he gets supported while she carry all the heavy bags. His rail backwards, so our self-esteem sags. And she never will respect the man who confidence lacks. And I don't mean that he good only for talking smack. But daddy handle business and his word is what he
handles. Ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us. But how long before we go on the offensive instead of reacting? It's time we bring manhood back. We gotta bring manhood back. Man up.
Why you switching, dude? Loosen up them skinny jeans. Call me bigger brother, trust me, I ain't trying to lean. It's just the troubling trend I'm seeing. Every day it's more okay to emulate femininity. And not what's in the DNA or genes. No, this is learned behavior made okay by those who need to see. A family structure be, if man was made to lead. The more we stray from our nature, we will not succeed. Sons and daughters now lack balance. Compensate with male attention, how she now manage. But see, he was never told how to make her feel special, so he treat her like a hoe. And since she was never shown how a real man should protect her heart to keep her legs closed. See, what she had hoped was being open lands a man's heart. But a broken boy is not equipped to play a man's part.
Man, but the father, Papa, son, it's time to stand up. See, we've been ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us. But how long before we go on the offensive instead of reacting? It's time we bring manhood back. We gotta bring manhood back. Man up.
The best kept secret is, no matter what your situation, you are more than a conqueror, and this is only a test. See, you can be anything that your heart desires, moving forward toward the unwritten chapters of your lives. You can make liars with their pants on fire eat their words, curve past the obstacles in your path, and crash directly into success. Head on collisions into happiness. Learning from the mistakes of fathers who are far from the best example, you could trample their crowd of negativity. See, they want your passion to go up in smoke like a chimney, but your will to succeed can still burn relevant. Cooler than peppermint, your anger can cease, avoiding the bellies of the beast you can reach for the stars. As far as your eyes can see, you don't need to be anybody's statistic, so don't miss your chance. You can dance to your own tune. Cats get it twisted like pretzels, thinking they have to accept those passed down generational patterns. The scattered cowards that showered their family tree. You don't have to be that automatically. So don't tell me that you have no role models in your life. Then you had no choice. You always have a voice in the matter. You could be anything under the sun. Even the worst father could stand as an example of what not to become.
Man up.
All right, we're back with you all. We're sorry for the technical difficulties that happened, but We got through them, and we're back, and we'll probably go a little bit over time if need be. So are you back with me, Sister Stephanie?
Yes, I am. That was crazy. Well, you know,
yeah.
It's good that we get
that was crazy. That was like a power outage or something. I don't know. But I think it was when I was setting up the show. I think I may not have put enough minutes on there for the show to go. So I think that's what really happened. So, again, I apologize.
It was okay. It happens, you know. That's what I'm saying. It happens, but... get back on topic now. Now you got to bring us back to topic again. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're back. We're talking about survival by the black community on these streets during this time of race war that's going on. And if you don't realize that we're in a race war, then I don't know what you've been doing since 2016. So we're talking about the way the media portrays people that have been victimized by white identity extremists or white supremacists, the way that they kill our people with impunity, whether it be through police brutality, police murder, or whether it be through deputized white citizens, which seems like that's what's going on when you have people feeling like it's illegal to have a hot dog stand or a lemonade stand or deliver a newspaper or selling, you know, lemonade or, you know, whatever. You know, they feel like, you know, they need to call the police on you. You know, whether it's because you pulled into a handicapped spot. They don't know if somebody was in the car was handicapped. My thing is there's a time when you need to mind your business. And we have to watch this game that they're playing with us. I call it drawing fire, quote unquote, drawing fire, and you can look it up. And that's when someone goads you into confrontation, knowing that they have a weapon on them, a concealed carry weapon on them, knowing that if they instigate you enough to put your hands on them, they will draw that weapon and shoot you.
Yep.
And they get away with it. They can get away with murder. So,
it's an egging somebody on, basically. That's what we do. We egg people on.
Yeah, that's the case. That's what happened down in Florida. That young black man was murdered in front of his family by white supremacists that was playing the drawing fire game, basically. That wasn't the first time he had confronted somebody in front of that store. He had confronted others in front of that store, calling other people out of their name, calling other people racial slurs, hoping to get a rise out of somebody so that he could pull his gun on them and shoot them.
Yeah.
And basically have the Florida stand your ground law basically save him from a life in prison. And that's why... one of two things need to happen. We need to either do away with that law, or we even need to take advantage of that law. And that means you come strapped too. And when you kill somebody, just say you were standing your ground. You was in fear for your life. Use the same excuses that they use. Although we know that the justice system doesn't look at us the same way as they look at them, but it's time to start throwing this stuff back in their face.
I think we're happy to Melissa Alanza. That's why a lot of black folks in Florida don't stand their ground, because that poor woman was a known victim of domestic violence. It wasn't like that was the first time. The police knew she was a victim of domestic violence And she didn't even shoot to kill. She shot a warning shot. And look at what happened to her.
So, right. How much did they, what did they give her, 20 years?
They gave her 20 years at first. Now, thankfully, she's out, you know, all of that's behind her, but she has to sit in jail for a whole minute. And she was defending herself. She didn't go and pick a fight. She was defending herself. Meanwhile, you look at this man, like you said, he was a known agitator in front of that store. They said they had problems with him. Cops didn't care about it, but they got his back because he caused a problem and he murdered somebody because of him causing a problem. So they didn't care about the store owner. They don't care about the citizens. They just wanted to protect that white man. And that's the way it is in Florida. Florida will go out of their way to protect a white person over a black person, a brown person, a yellow person, a sand person. Florida will go out their way to protect a white person. And George Zimmerman. Because George Zimmerman ain't white. Let's put it out there.
Right, he wasn't white before then, but he was white during the trial, which was surprising. But we know, we could look at him and see he's not white.
Oh, I guess the last day we all got white last days if you think about it.
I believe he changed his name, or somebody in his family changed his name to Zimmerman. But
to be married, or the mother got married because
right.
She was a single mother. You know, wasn't she ruining her community being a single mother? I'm just saying, focus on all the wrong stuff instead of focusing on the correct stuff. We should be focusing on protecting ourselves. We should be talking about self-defense. We should be talking about gun laws and how they affect the state that we live in. Now we focus on the bullshit. Weed or not weed, baby mama or white. We don't focus on the real issues and not the problem in our community.
Right. All these laws that they have on the books can be changed, but it's a matter of us getting involved in the process.
You saw when they killed
voting.
That dog.
It takes us voting.
When they killed that dog on the airplane, they had a law in a week.
Right. They change laws when it comes to us. Like I was saying earlier, I was setting an example of how the media will play these things against us, trying to make us the face of crime, where in the case of the white businessman from Washington, D.C., who was killed down in Atlanta by the young black man, you know, that's been on the news up here all week. You know, there's been no mention of what happened out in Oakland with the white racist killing the young black queen and killing her, and injuring her sister. There's been no mention of that.
Wow, you're right.
The only time I've seen that, the only way I found out about that was on through social media. That was the only way I found out about that. So we have to wonder how many of these racial crimes go on that never gets reported.
You
we
know,
have to wonder that.
If the man is
that's not the only one.
They just mentioned that Florida case last night, but you're right. Nia Wilson's case has not been on mainstream media. It has not gone national. So it has not been on the national news. And it hasn't been on
the And sister, you and me know why, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only because it was a white man that did the killing, it's because it was a black woman that got killed. If that had been a black guy stabbing a white woman in the neck, it would have been an international news story. It would have been an international news story.
Yeah.
And they would play that out for the next 2 or 3 months. Really, they would do that.
It was a one-shot tourist. It would be a tourist for tourism, and then it would be a whole, this city is safe, peace, and JD would have all. Yeah,
let it have been a black man, a Muslim, or a Latino man killing a white woman on the train tracks. All hell would have broke loose.
Yeah, because remember when that black cop killed that white tourist in Minneapolis?
He went to jail too.
That was loose for a minute, but you're right. I haven't heard about
He's in jail right now.
You didn't hear about the man getting killed in Chicago? That never went national. I only know about that because of Twitter. Come to think of it, you're right. There's four things that are going on right now that is major news in the black community and not near none of mainstream media covering it.
And that's the one thing that we need to change about social media. We need to be letting each other know what's going on in our communities more so than sharing, you know, memes and, you know, fight videos and just the bullshit that we share with each other. You know, we need to be definitely sharing information with each other.
Okay.
Back in the day, they didn't have Facebook.
Wait,
they didn't have the social media outlets that we have today.
I hate to stop you, but the white fight videos are hilarious as fuck. I don't care. Yes, I do love the dual videos where white races are getting their ass kicked. I'm sorry. Yes, I love sharing them, and I love watching them. So, yeah. Now, we don't need to stop with the fight videos. If it's a racist getting his ass kicked, keep on sharing those. Keep sharing those. Yeah, nah. There's certain fight videos we need to stop. Not all the fight videos. Okay, I'm good. I yield now.
Well, the fight videos where they show us fighting each other, because we always know that that's not the case and that really fits their narrative. What we have to do is we have to go against their media narrative of basically saying that all we do is fight each other, fuck, and have babies. That's their narrative. That's what they think of us. Now, I know a lot of people say, I don't care what they think about us. But we have to realize that it creates a narrative of us for people that don't even know us. So my thing is we have to fight fire with fire, and we have to start showing negative videos of them. You know, like you said, if you see a video of a white racist getting his ass kicked, yeah, please share it. So that it will show our people that you don't have to stand there and take it. And we have to let them know that, yeah, if you say the wrong thing out your mouth, there's going to be consequences.
We also need to share more videos of us at the gun range shooting at the gym. You know, we can't just be in the gym shooting a ball. We need to be at the range shooting. We need to be sharing our gun videos, showing that we go to the gun range too.
Right. And that doesn't mean showing off what weapons you got, because nobody needs to know what weapons you got, you know, but you. But definitely, they need to have, you know, videos of us out here training, or, you know, out here doing our thing. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you see videos of white people doing this or whatever. And my thing is, you know, when they share those videos, I don't have a problem learning from them. I don't have a problem learning from somebody who's knows how to put a gun together or knows how to take a gun apart. You know, that's interesting to learn. That's an interesting thing to learn. And then once I learn it, then I can show my people how to do it. That's how I look at it.
I like to watch those videos. I like those videos. I would like to see more black people do those type of videos. How to survive. Prepping video. Shooting video. Prepping shooting video. Survivalist video. I think we need to have more of those videos, because if we didn't learn from Katrina, we damn sure should have learned from Harvey that survival skills is not just a hobby for white people. Survival skills is important for all people to have. And you can't wait till a natural disaster to realize that you don't know what to do in the event of an emergency. So, yeah. We are lacking. We do need to show more of those videos on social media. We do need to be more of the media for our communities on social media, because, as you said, mainstream media has to show our stories or tell our narrative.
No doubt. If we can get to a point where we get our people to wake up and realize that these folks are actually out to get you. It's not paranoia or anything like that. These folks are actually out to get you, and you need to have your head on a swivel at all times. And I'm going to run down the tactics that they use. And this is from a historical perspective. Anytime that there was a Klan meeting back in the day, they would pick a black person to kill, to hang, or to burn, or to mutilate, either before or after they met. So I want you all to look at the timeline. When Nia Wilson was murdered, the week before that, those Oath Keepers, which I call a white supremacist organization, I don't care what nobody say, because they're a bunch of ex-cops and ex-military guys. When they went to try to get into Maxine Waters' neighborhood, and the neighborhood stood up and said, oh, nah, it's not going down like that, which I'm really proud of. When they backed them down during that week, that's when Nia Wilson was killed. When the Klan had their meeting in Atlanta, that's when they were finding them bodies hanging. So I'm telling you, wherever these groups decide to meet, have your head on a swivel. And on August the 12th, this year, they're coming to D.C. And I'm already warning my brothers and sisters to be on the lookout for them. So we have to be aware of what's going on in our communities at all times. Don't think that if these groups are coming to your area that they're not going to try to do harm to one or more of us. Just be aware. There's a time where we should be out walking in groups or walking in pairs or not going places alone. And in the climate that's in this country right now, you really have to be aware of what's going on. And with that, I'm going to yield my statement. I see I'm being joined by another caller. If you'd like to join the conversation, just press 1. We're talking about black survival in today's America with these white identity extremists declaring war on us, full-blown war. They're going, I'd say they're going asymmetrical now instead of symmetrical because they're basically practicing guerrilla warfare on black people right now, and I think that we need to be aware of that. Because we created those tactics. So we definitely need to be aware of how they move against us. Because instead of coming at us full force and with the full group, they have little lone wolves out here that are willing to do what they need to do against us and then be held up as a martyr to their group. So we need to be careful of that. Go ahead, sis. You were going to say something?
You said you had another caller.
Yeah, they didn't press 1, though. I think they just want to listen.
We have to be cognizant. We have to think. We can't no longer just go about our days. We have to think about what it means now. Go about our day. You can't be at the subway by yourself listening to your music, cutting yourself off in your own little zone when you're outside no more. You can't do that. You can't be having your iPhone and your Netflix blasting
on the phone. I don't got time for that.
That's how you're going to get caught out there. You can't be walking down the street in your neighborhood anymore thinking you're safe. You have to realize that now the danger is coming into your neighborhood. It's not the danger, it's not somebody in your neighborhood. Especially in August, there's going to be a lot of creeping in these things.
Right. And we have to realize that, you know, August is considered within the black nationalist community, August is a very special month. You know, we had called it Black August in the Black Panther pantheon story. Black August meant a lot because that was the month where, you know, a lot of basically racial riots went on, where, you know, uprisings, I'll say, went on, where basically we was taking heads in August. And you can go back in the history and even look up some of the slave rebellions that went on. They took place in the month of August, so definitely. There's something spiritual about that, and we have to be aware of that. We can't let our enemies just walk around and feel like, you know, they can take one of us out whenever they want. And I don't know, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to travel in groups. Sometimes you might have to travel alone. My thing is just be aware of your surroundings and be prepared for whatever might happen. Be prepared for whatever might happen, because the worst thing that you can do is get caught unawares and not be prepared. And my thing is right now we should be on a war footing and we should be at high alert at all times. I know it can be stressful, but this is your life we're talking about. And I don't want anyone being, you know, taken out unaware or taken out by surprise. And with that, I'm going to take a short break, and we'll be back shortly. This is Malcolm X versus Hip Hop. Well, I guess the radio is not playing this today, so I'll keep talking. I'm good. You still there, sis?
Yeah, I'm still there. I thought you were texting. Okay, then. Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not an echo, is it?
No.
All right. I was just making sure it wasn't an echo.
Yeah, you're doing better now. How you echoing?
Give it a second. All right, did it go away? Hello?
Yep, it went away.
Okay. Yeah, that's that, that dumb direct connect. I'm trying not to mess with it, but for some reason, I'm not getting anything to play this evening as far as messages or anything. So I think I'm just not going to mess with it.
That's crazy. So I have to send them
right.
A ticket.
Okay. Well, we'll go back to the subject anyway. That was our little our little respite. And I just want to put the announcements out there that Dr. Misty's show will be on tomorrow evening from 8 to 10. And then on Saturday, we have Sister Stephanie with Shadow Talk Radio. And Sister Stephanie does such a good job because she never has no technical difficulties. It always seemed to be my show. But,
hello.
Sunday, hopefully, we'll have Brother Clayton coming soon on Sunday nights. And then on Monday, we have the Open for Hope radio show. So, hey, Sister Stephanie, did you see the flyer that I made? I know it's kind of messy, but I wanted to do it a little bit better. I wanted to ask, was that a good color for you? Was blue a good color for you? Or would you prefer a different color?
You know what? I didn't really have an issue with the color. I like the flyer. I'm not petty.
I know cloud formation. That raindrops don't fall in a teardrop shape. They originally fall in the shape of a flat oval.
Okay,
I don't remember where I read that.
Now you jump in.
Okay.
That was Asia Monet, what I've learned. I'll hit that up again a little bit later. Maybe it'll come on time the next time I play it. But yeah, so you didn't have a problem with the color. Everything was good with that? I'm gonna make a better one, and I'm gonna make one for your show. Specifically, everybody's going to get their own specific show flyer that they can share with their friends and family so that they can be in the know and know when to call in and what time to call in. So definitely, I'm going to work on that.
That's just social media. You're right. That's what put it out there, just for social media.
Yeah, I'll work on that after this show tonight. So expect a flyer in your messenger or maybe even through your text message. So everybody will get their own separate flyer. So I'll post a group. When I do the group flyers, I'll post them on the Black Think Tank radio page, and I'll send everybody a separate flyer where they can share their own flyer or make copies of it or whatever they want to do.
That sounds better.
Definitely push your show and get people to call in. Like, I messaged people to call in, and somebody did call in. I think that might have been Dr. Misty, but she did say she was driving, so she wasn't going to be able to stay on too long. So I believe that was her that had called in. And then I had a few people text me back and say they weren't home yet, but they were calling as soon as they got home. So we'll see. I'll go on a little bit longer, and if they don't call in by, say, 10 o'clock, then we'll go ahead and call it a night for this show. But
it's this big show.
If they call in and they keep the conversation going, I don't mind going overtime, you know. So I want to also touch on, well, I'll keep going with the survival topics. See, my thing is, if things go bad tomorrow, if there's, you know, if they say they cut off food stamps for everybody all of a sudden and can't nobody get food, you know there's going to be rioting in the streets.
There
so
is.
My thing is that, number one, I don't think that they would do that, but I don't put it past them to do that. But I don't think they would do that because they know they would be affecting more of their people than they would be affecting ours. Because the myth is that all of us are on food stamps, and that's not the case. That's not true. Food stamps serves the white majority population more so than it serves the black population. And notice I didn't say minority, because those are words that I really don't believe in. You can't make me believe that we're a minority in this country. I think that there's just as many of us in different places, because anywhere you go in this country, we are there. So
the biggest,
you know, we might not be
the biggest recipients of food stamps is Onslow County, Kentucky. And there ain't no black people in Onslow County, Kentucky. It's 99.9% white.
Mm-hmm. Put it out there, because people don't seem to understand that, you know. The media has perpetuated that myth. That's another one of media myths that they perpetuated. That black people are on food stamps and black women are welfare queens, and that's just not the case.
But
how can black women be
welfare
queens?
With New Jersey and Lakewood, New Jersey, and they were white. They were living in million-dollar mansions, driving Mercedes Benzes. And they was ripping off the state of New Jersey for $1 million in public assistance. I'm not going to put their religion out there, because their religion had nothing to do with it.
Hey, say it like you mean it. Since you know we're straight no chaser here.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think when they was committing welfare fraud in New Jersey, they was going to... They would say, I'm Jewish. When they were committing welfare fraud in New Jersey, and they was going to the state offices, some state office workers saw them white. They didn't see them as Jewish. They saw them as white people.
Right.
So,
your religion doesn't matter, because you can say you're a Christian. And my thing is, on Sundays, there's a difference between a black Christian and a white Christian.
I have a bad joke, so let me shut up.
Go ahead, we got time.
Wow.
We got jokes.
The difference is the whole church is shaming sister for sleeping with the pastor. Meanwhile, in the white church, they all saying it was God's will. You know. Or what's another difference between the black church and the white church? Black church, everybody's wearing clothes that they can't afford. The white church, they wearing jeans.
That's true.
There's new difference. The black church, they don't pass around the tie bucket. They tell you to put it in your paycheck now. They don't want to deal with money. They'll take it straight from your employer. I don't think the white churches do that. Do they?
Don't give me the line on a Sunday church. Sis, I ain't been to church.
I'll be there. You know, somebody told me that her pastor get her W-2. I was shocked. Because, you know, he's on my W-2 as a dependent, as a deduction. I don't have to time. I deduct every time they get their money, every time I pay my paycheck. I was like, wait, what? The church that's too much of somebody's business for me.
That's like you on church support instead of child support.
Okay. That's what it sounds like, really? Like, seriously?
Like, I wish I would have taken my church tithes out of my check.
Like, what if your check is short? The church still going to get paid, but you ain't going to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Your pay ain't going to get paid? But the church still going to eat, because the church got paid before you got paid.
Right. And then the pastor riding around in an $80,000 car. And you got to catch
the bus. Giving God the glory.
Talking
about your delivery when you dead. My delivery is here on earth because I'm Pastor Buck. Pastor
and
Buck.
That's a whole nother show too, because there was a time when the church was definitely there to help and protect the black community, and somewhere along the line that changed.
I know where you're going with that, but was it so much that it was the church that was there to help the black community, or was good people that belonged to a church was there to help the community? Because I don't think the church was never there to help the black community. I think the church was there to keep us in line and keep us placated, but I don't think it was ever there to help us. I think that there was good people that was members of a church that helped their communities out, and for them, they deserve all the glory. But as far as that religion, as far as that church, as far as that building, no, I don't think it was there to help the community. I think it was there as a way to keep us in line and keep us asleep.
Yeah, well, I'll say over here, I think that all religions become watered down when they come to America. Because over in Africa, Christianity, the way that it's practiced is different over there in Ethiopia or Sudan. They practice Christianity, and it's practiced differently than it is here in the United States.
Valid.
And unfortunately for them, you know, they've let the Roman Empire in, so, you know, now they have to do things their way. Although they have their own pope, you know, aside from the pope that everyone else looks up to or whatever. But like I said, I could do a whole show on that too. And it all ties in. And these days I try to make it a point not to shit on anybody's religion. You know, do what you do. My thing is that whatever you do, you got to be about your people first.
Exactly. You can't be Jesus and your people. And people, and that's the problem. And you're right. You can't sit on somebody's belief. But when you put your belief in front of yourself, it makes it hard for people to actually take you serious. When you say Jesus is more important than you, it's your faith in God that sustains your belief. So how can your belief be more than you that believes it? I can't have no respect for you. I'm sorry. It's crazy. It's like you don't think. You're telling me you think and you believe something, but if you truly believed and thought about it, you would understand you really don't believe in it, because then you wouldn't have to use repetition to discuss your belief. You wouldn't have to fight so hard for people to understand that you have validity if you believed in it truly yourself. I think there's a lot of disconnect that you need to, like, get rid of.
Right. It's amazing that people don't get it, or some of them do get it. And my thing is that a lot of times when people do their research and they find out about, you know, religion, a lot of times they're angry and they get mad and they get upset because they feel like they've been lied to, you know, and about a lot of things. And then I go, well, once you get over the anger and the bitterness, which really shouldn't take you long, once you realize what this system was built on, and the system was built on lies, and it was built on lying to people. Once you get that part of it, and you start to really investigate where, you know, this religion comes from and what religion is about and what the definition of religion is, and how it's used in conjunction with government to control the people. Once you get that part of it, you know, you start to understand and you realize that, you know, this is a system that we need to fight against. And I'm not going to discount anything in the Bible. I'm not going to discount anything in the Quran, or even, you know, Buddhist teachings or anything. I'm not going to discount any of that, because it is a moral compass that can be used. The question is, how are you using it? Are you using it to take people's resources? Are you using it as an excuse to go to war against other people? You know, these are things that we have to recognize, and we have to realize what's going on in the world now. Because a lot of times religion is used as an excuse.
So true. So true. Bishop Swat on Twitter was saying something similar to that. He says, you have all these so-called Christians and the evangelicals on Twitter talking about this and that, but you don't, they're solid when this or that is a direct violation of their Bible. They don't have nothing to say. They're supporting a man who had 5 kids, 3 different wives, and all of this. And I know he's violating a couple commandments there. They don't have nothing to say. And you can't tell me your religion is centered in your life if you can live your life separate from your religion. It don't make no sense.
That's true. And since we're talking about religion, I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to listen to what George Carlin had to say on religion.
But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest. Religion. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky, who watches everything you do, every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you.
loves you. He loves you and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing, and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit. Thank you very much. But I want you to know something. This is sincere. I want you to know, when it comes to believing in God, I really tried. I really, really tried. I tried to believe that there is a God who created each of us in his own image and likeness, loves us very much, and keeps a close eye on things. I really tried to believe that, but I got to tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up. Something is wrong here. War, disease, death, destruction, hunger, filth, poverty, torture, crime, corruption, and the ice capades. Something is definitely wrong. This is not good work. If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed. Results like these do not belong on the resume of a supreme being. This is the kind of shit you'd expect from an office temp with a bad attitude. And just between you and me, in any decently run universe, this guy would have been out on his all-powerful ass a long time ago. And by the way, I say this guy because I firmly believe, looking at these results, that if there is a God, it has to be a man. No woman could or would ever fuck things up like this. If there is a God, if there is, I think most reasonable people might agree that he's at least incompetent and maybe, just maybe, doesn't give a shit. Doesn't give a shit, which I admire in a person and which would explain a lot of these bad results. So rather than be just another mindless religious robot, mindlessly and aimlessly and blindly believing that all of this is in the hands of some spooky, incompetent father figure who doesn't give a shit, I decided to look around for something else to worship, something I could really count on. And immediately, I thought of the sun. Happened like that. Overnight, I became a sun worshiper. Well, not overnight. You can't see the sun at night. But first thing the next morning, I became a sun worshiper. Several reasons. First of all, I can see the sun.
Okay.
Yeah. Unlike some other gods I could mention, I can actually see the sun. I'm big on that. If I can see something, I don't know, kind of helps the credibility along, you know? So every day I can see the sun as it gives me everything I need. Heat, light, food, flowers in the park, reflections on the lake, an occasional skin cancer, but hey, at least there are no crucifixions and we're not setting people on fire simply because they don't agree with us. Sun worship is fairly simple. There's no mystery, no miracles, no pageantry, no one asks for money, there are no songs to learn, and we don't have a special building where we all gather once a week to compare clothing. And the best thing about the sun, it never tells me I'm unworthy. It doesn't tell me I'm a bad person who needs to be saved, hadn't said an unkind word, treats me fine. So I worship the sun, but I don't pray to the sun. Know why? I wouldn't presume on our friendship. It's not polite. I've often thought people treat God rather rudely, don't you? Asking, you know, trillions and trillions of prayers every day, asking and pleading and begging for favors, do this, give me that, I need a new car, I want a better job. And most of this praying takes place on Sunday, his day off. Not nice. And it's no way to treat a friend. But people do pray, and they pray for a lot of different things. You know, your sister needs an operation on her crotch. Your brother was arrested for defecating in a mall. But most of all, you'd really like to fuck that hot little redhead down at the convenience store. You know, the one with the eye patch and the club foot, huh? Can you pray for that? I think you'd have to. And I say, fine, pray for anything you want. Pray for anything. But what about the divine plan? Remember that? The divine plan. Long time ago, God made a divine plan, gave it a lot of thought, decided it was a good plan, put it into practice. And for billions and billions of years, the divine plan has been doing just fine. Now you come along and pray for something. Well, suppose the thing you want isn't in God's divine plan. What do you want him to do? Change his plan? Just for you? Doesn't it seem a little arrogant? It's a divine plan. What's the use of being God if every rundown schmuck with a $2 prayer book can come along and fuck up your plan? And here's something else, another problem you might have. Suppose your prayers aren't answered. What do you say? Well, it's God's will. Thy will be done. Fine, but if it's God's will and he's going to do what he wants to anyway, why the fuck bother praying in the first place? Seems like a big waste of time to me. Couldn't you just skip the praying part and go right to his will? It's all very confusing. So to get around a lot of this, I decided to worship the sun. But, as I said, I don't pray to the sun. You know who I pray to? Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Two reasons. First of all, I think he's a good actor, okay? To me, that counts. Second, he looks like a guy who can get things done. Joe Pesci doesn't fuck around. Doesn't fuck around. In fact, Joe Pesci came through on a couple of things that God was having trouble with. For years, I asked God to do something about my noisy neighbor with the barking dog. Joe Pesci straightened that cocksucker out with one visit. It's amazing what you can accomplish with a simple baseball bat. So I've been praying to Joe for about a year now. And I noticed something. I noticed that all the prayers I used to offer to God and all the prayers I now offer to Joe Pesci are being answered at about the same 50% rate. Half the time I get what I want, half the time I don't. Same as God, 50-50. Same as the four-leaf clover and the horseshoe, the wishing well and the rabbit's foot. Same as the mojo man. Same as the voodoo lady who tells you your fortune by squeezing the goat's testicles. It's all the same, 50-50. So just pick your superstition, sit back, make a wish, and enjoy yourself. And for those of you who look to the Bible for moral lessons and literary qualities, I might suggest a couple of other stories for you. You might want to look at The Three Little Pigs. That's a good one. Has a nice, happy ending. I'm sure you'll like that. Then there's Little Red Riding Hood, although it does have that X-rated part where the big bad wolf actually eats the grandmother, which I didn't care for, by the way. And finally, I've often always drawn a great deal of moral comfort from Humpty Dumpty. The part I like the best, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's because there is no Humpty Dumpty and there is no God. None, not one, no God, never was. In fact, I'm gonna put it this way. If there is a God, may he strike this audience dead. See, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Everybody's okay. All right, tell you what. I'll raise the stakes a little bit. If there is a God, may he strike me dead. See, nothing happened. Oh, wait, got a little cramp in my leg. And my balls hurt. Plus, I'm blind. Oh, now I'm okay again. Must have been Joe Pesci, huh? God bless Joe Pesci. Thank you all very much. Joe bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, sis, we're back.
Well, the voice seems to be working fine now.
Yeah, see, the voice seems to be working fine now. Hope that made y'all laugh if you get a chance to listen to it. It's just jokes. Don't worry about it. Don't take me seriously. I'm not bashing your religion. That's just a perspective of a comedian. That's all. So, I'm not saying it's the wrong perspective. I'm just saying it's just a perspective. If it makes you laugh, laugh. If not, then, you know, hey, don't worry about it. Let's just keep it moving. But, yeah, sis, on that note, did you have any last, thoughts that you wanted to throw out there?
I think sometimes you gotta laugh or you be seeing it. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it is. That's why every now and again, and again, I have to play it. I wish that our people could come to a consensus on a lot of things, and I feel like it's unfortunate when we have people give the promise to us, you know, of leadership, and then they vacate that leadership. And like I said at the beginning of the show, or the other show, I said, you know, I would touch on this subject, but I would not name names because I want the innocent to remain guilty, or the guilty to remain innocent, whatever the case may be. But I feel like our people have to be careful about who they give their allegiances and loyalty to. I think that, you know, a lot of times that we find ourselves guided by a personality more so than guided by the ideas and the, you know, ideologies. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in that cult of personality, whether it be, as you see, you know, people being caught up in the Trumpanzee, or, you know, people being caught up in a murderous Jim Jones type. You know, you really have to be careful about who we give our loyalty to. And that means, you know, that means vetting people, you know, so that we don't become misguided in our loyalties. And that means back checking if need be. And I don't have a problem with anybody checking into my background, because I don't have anything back there, I can promise you, that's, you know, going to change the way that I am, because the way that I speak right now is the way that I am, and I have, you know, people that are witness to that. You know, even those that have, you know, left, you know, whenever they called, I was there. Whenever they needed something, I was there. So, you know, and to me, it was never about me. It still isn't about me. But, you know, what I give out, you know, I expect from people, you know, and you don't have to be a leader to me. My thing is, you know, I don't have to be a leader to you. But my thing is that it should be a respect thing, that, you know, if you ask something of me, that I'm able to get it done, or if I ask something of you, you're able to get it done. And if you can't get it done, then, you know, just tell me. It's nothing that I can do to you that, you know, is going to make it seem like, you know, that there's nothing I can do to anybody that's going to make it seem like, you know, I'm this all-powerful being or whatever. Nah, if something goes wrong and you can't get something done, or you need help with something, you know, all I ask is just reach out. Let me know, because none of us read minds. None of us read minds. None of us knows what's going on from one moment to the next. You know, and, you know, when situations arise that could affect all of us, you know, I think that we should definitely all be in the loop. I don't have a problem with that. This isn't a thing where I'm the leader of Black Think Tank Radio Network. Nah, this is the people's network. So the people run this thing. I might have more knowledge of, you know, maybe how to do things or whatever, but that doesn't mean that I'm, you know, the sole proprietor and the sole leader of this thing. This is the people's network, and I'm going to keep saying that until the day is not here anymore, and hopefully that will never be. And my expectations is that, you know, this thing is going to grow. I don't care how slow it's going. To me, it's going to gain fire. The more that we share our shows, the more that we share the network, people are going to catch on that, hey, this is a place where I can have my voice heard. This might be something that I can, you know, get word out to the community by using, you know. We're a tool. That's all we are. We are a tool of the people. So with that being said, you know, I'm going to let bygones be bygones. I'm going to let those who aren't here with us, who started and left, I'm going to let them go their way. And I'm never going to bring it up again. My thing is that I'm looking forward. I'm not looking back. And with that being said, I'm going to yield. Still with me, sis? Okay, well, let's hear from Asia real quick.
Yep, I think you're right. You just got to move forward. You can't look back. I mean, what happened. But, you know, the whole thing about Black Think Tank Radio, it wasn't, it's not about a person. It's about people. And the network was open and set up to be about people, and most of the shows are community, so forum, so more than about pushing a person, celebrity or agenda. So it is what it is, you know. You gotta keep on fighting a good fight. Sometimes people get tired. Gotta understand it and wish them well and let them lead their lives. Basically. And that being said, don't forget, on Black Sheep Tech Radio, we have Fridays, Moments with Dr. Misty, and that's at 8 p.m. Eastern. And Saturdays, you have Shadow Talk Show with me, and that's at 8 p.m. Eastern. And Sunday, we should be bringing you a good show. We still have to confirm, and that should be at 8 p.m. Eastern. And on Mondays, you have Open for Hope Radio, and that's at 9 p.m. Eastern. Tuesdays, Wednesdays are available. If you have a show that you want to bring to the community, definitely reach out at bttrn@gmail.com.
That's bttrn94@gmail.com. bttrn94@gmail.com. I'm sorry, sis. I stepped away for a second. My bad. But yeah, definitely. If you want to reach out to us, if you have a show idea or, you know, would like to maybe, you know, take my Thursday. I don't have to be here next Thursday. If any of you would like to host my show, definitely give me a call. Let me know what your show topic is going to be, and I'll be glad to step aside and let you, you know, have the mic to sound off. You know, that's what it's for, and that's what we're here for. it doesn't always have to be us hosting the show. Like you said, it's not about the personalities. You know, it's about the community. So if you have something that you want to say on a certain day or whatever, definitely get in touch with us. And, you know, we'll fire up the network and we'll see what's good. So with that being said, sis, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Be safe out there. This is a jungle.
All power right. Definitely, power to the people. And with that being said, I'm going to say one love, power to the people, and be safe out there and peace.
Okay.